so happy you're here listening right now. This is Eternity Church's weekly podcast. You will find our messages encouraging, inspirational, and relative to your life, no matter what stage of the journey you find yourself in. Here's Pastor Jesse.
Come on, give me a shout of praise in this place. Give me a shout of praise in your place. Whether you're here, next door, online, come on, make some noise. Come on, make some noise and praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody say the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 You smell that? That's hope. Amen. It's sweet, isn't it? It's a sweet smell, isn't it? It's hope in the air tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come on, give me one more shout of praise. You can hear that, can't you? That's hope. Wow, worship is good online at Eternity Church, isn't it? Like, let's not downplay that. Like, worship online at Eternity is awesome, right? Like, it's unreal. It's good. And I'm glad that everybody online tonight, I saw this broke about, I don't know, 50, 60 people online tonight. God bless you. Love you. Worship online is good. But Scripture shows us that we're better together. That we're better together. And I know that for a lot of people who were unable to come tonight, that maybe there was anxieties, fears, or you're just not ready, and that's okay. You don't need to feel bad about that. We're not here to make you to feel bad about that. I do know that some other people were maybe a little bit further along, and so and you came tonight with some anxiety in your heart. And I just pray that God's peace will be upon you in the name of Jesus. And for a lot of other people, I know that you're just like, let's go. Come on, let's go. And that's all right too, right? That's the cool thing about being designed by God, right? You've been designed individually. All got different personalities, different upbringings, raised different ways. But one thing we all have in common, that whether we came with fear, whether we came with anxiety, whether we came guns blazing, ready to go, whether we stayed home, we're all at this moment joining together because we want to worship the living God, and we want to grow closer to Him, and we want to become all that He has designed us to be. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to let you know how the rest of the service is going to work. The service will end. Instead of doing the offering immediately after the sermon, it'll actually be the last thing we do. It'll just be encouragement and how to give. That'll be at the very end of the service. And then there'll be ushers at the door holding buckets like this. And you can give your offering in that bucket. You can also give online at myeternity.com/give. You'll also, just so you know though, at the end of the service, you'll be dismissed row by row, okay? So please be kind and obey the ushers. What they'll do is they'll say, right, that back row, then the next row, then the next row. And the reason for that is just to avoid crowding and congestion at the exits, okay? I'm sure y'all can help me with that. Everyone online, if you could also not leave until the ushers have looked at you and said, now you can go, all right? We don't want to crowd your house either, all right? And so that's how it's going to work today. But right now, I'm going to share a scripture with you. Before you take your seats, today's scripture is one that we have quoted a portion of it many times here at Eternity Church. But today I want to dissect it, dive into it, and maybe bounce off it a little bit today. It's from Jeremiah 29, 11 to 14. And we have quoted a portion of this a lot of times at Eternity Church. But come on, are you ready for the word? Awesome. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans to prosper you. Now, this is God speaking, all right? This is God speaking. I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord God. Those plans are to prosper you, not to harm you. They're plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me. When? Then. When? in the future, now that you have hope, you'll call on me and come and pray to me and I'll listen to you. You'll seek me and you'll find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. Come on, let's pray. Heavenly Father, for those online and for those in this room and those in that room, God, I pray and ask that you would use this time, this message, this moment in time to fill us with the hope that you speak of in this passage. And for those of us who have hope, help us to sow hope, to plant hope, to share hope, and to give hope to those that do not. We thank you for what we now know more than ever, that it is an absolute joy. Thank you for the joy and the pleasure and the excitement of being able to gather together in the name of Jesus Christ. And God, I pray a special blessing as well on those who could not join us, those who are joining us online. God, we thank you that that's a great option here at Eternity Church. In Jesus' name, everybody here and there and everywhere, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You may take your seats. God bless you. Thank you, band. The passage that I just read talks about the fact that God is a God of hope, right? Oh, by the way, just because it's first week back doesn't mean you don't get to amen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the anxious and the bold all together will amen in the sermon. Amen. Yeah, come on. Good. We're not going to forget who we are. You're going to help me preach. You know I preach better when you yell at me, so get yelling at me today. Yeah, yeah? You with me? Awesome. Now listen up. The passage I just read is a passage where God shows us that I am a God of hope, that his plan is to fill our lives and our future with hope, to fill our whole existence with hope, and that that hope that he gives us would grow into faith, and that then we would have the faith to call upon the name of the Lord and he will respond. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, I gave you a message on the power of faith, and we talked about how faith is the key that activates the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, right? That it's one thing to have the Holy Spirit in your life. It's another thing to take a step of faith and speak with the power of the Holy Spirit, right? That if God has given you the gift of prophecy, that you still need faith to activate the gift and to speak and to share that word of knowledge or prophecy in someone's life, right? And so faith is the key that activates the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Today's message is the prequel. I hate prequels. Hate them, right? Hate them, can't stand them, killed them, fed them to the tigers, now they're snacking, right? I hate prequels, right? Like when Star Wars and they bring out the three in the middle and then bring more out before and more, like that drives me mad. I love Star Wars, but that drives me mad. Well, I'm about to do that kind of madness to you today. Today's message is the prequel. And I know that so many people want to have faith, and we talked about faith, and there's a lot of people who want to have faith but don't feel like they've got the faith, yeah? So many people want to live that life, but they don't know how to start. In my message a couple of weeks ago, I talked about how the key to great steps of faith is small steps of faith, right? And you could say that the path to great faith is paved with a lot of small little bricks, okay? And I've spoken to a few people over the last week or so who have said that they wish that they had faith like mine, or faith like Pastor Amanda, or faith like Pastor Luke, or faith like Pastor Jed, that they wish they had faith like that, or they wish that they were a risk-taking person. I've even spoken to pastors, especially this week, right, who have said, I wish I could lead with the kind of faith that you and your team are able to lead at Eternity Church with, right? But they feel stuck. They feel stuck in fear or all these other options that could try and hold you back from faith in your lives. And all these conversations got me thinking about how did I end up having great faith? See, I do believe that I'm a man of faith. I want to have ambitious faith. I want to take steps of faith in my life. I would rather fail trying and giving it everything I've got than succeed at being nothing, right? Like, I love faith. I love to risk it all in the hope and the belief and the faith that God is going to reward my faith, right? So all these conversations got me thinking about, how do you get faith? How do you get great faith? And yes, faith is built on top of small faith, right? Great faith is built on small faith. But some people want to know, how do you not only get from small faith to great faith, how do you get from no faith to small faith? That's a great question, isn't it, right? Like, come on, give me a wave if you're following what I'm saying so far, right? It's one thing to say, I got a little bit of faith, like Jesus saying to Peter, who jumped out of a boat and freaking walked on water. And Jesus is like, oh, you have little faith. Like, that's little faith? Jumping out of boat? That's, okay, all right. You have little faith, right? Because it doesn't take much faith to have a great reward, amen? But how do you get from no faith to a little bit of faith? Today, every single person is going to walk away with the encouragement that you need to easily, come on, listen to me, to easily begin a life of faith. A life of faith. The Christian life is not complicated. People have made it complicated. It is not complicated. I believe that we're going to see hundreds and thousands of great men and women of faith rise up out of our church. And for many of them, that journey is going to start today. Amen. So are you ready? Come on, are you ready online? Right, amen. Hit the love button. Tell us you're with us today. Amen. So are you ready?
Yeah.
Awesome. If we want to see a guy that had no faith become a guy that had great faith, I think the best example of that in all of Scripture is the story of Gideon. A guy who was like nothing and then became something. The story of Gideon. A guy who had no faith and then great faith and in the middle, small faith. His story goes like this. There was a bloke, his name was Gideon. The Lord came to him and said, hey, mighty warrior, you're going to defeat the Midianites, right? And then Gideon replied, who, me? And God's like, yes, you. Who, me? Yes, you. Who, me? I am the least in my family, and my family is the least in my tribe, and my tribe is the least in my country. He said, I am the weakest son of a gun in my family. My family is the weakest family in our tribe, and our tribe is known as the weakest tribe in the country. Not a guy you'd accuse of being overly confident, am I right? Right? Nobody ever accused him of being a bit too cocky, a little bit full of himself. Nobody accused him of being overconfident or stuck up or arrogant ever in his life until maybe when we fast forward a little bit. So now we're going to fast forward, right? Just a tiny little bit. We're not fast forwarding a bunch of years. We're going to fast forward from that moment just a tiny little bit, not long, a teeny weeny little while later, that same, I am the weakest dude that you will ever meet in your life, that same guy takes just 300 men, fights, and defeats 120,000 Midianites. Not 100 Midianites and then 20,000 Midianites, 120,000 Midianites. Now it's one thing to defeat them. It's another thing to even step out on that battlefield. Right? I got hooked. To take 300 men and fight 120,000 men, that's not the guy who just yells out, I'm the weakest in my family. My family's the weakest in our tribe. My tribe's the weakest in the country. That'd be like, I'm the weakest in my church. Our church is the weakest in Des Moines. Des Moines the weakest in Iowa. Iowa's the weakest in America. And America's the weakest in the world. That's not a guy you want to go fight with you, is it? Right? I got hooked. How does a guy go from, I'm a piece of pus, to I'm going to step out in faith and fight 120,000 120,000 men with 300 men. How do you get there? How does the "I'm the weakest dude in the world" guy say, "You know what? The numbers don't matter"? How does the weakest guy in the world go, "The odds are against us, but the odds don't matter. Let's go fight these guys"? How does that guy say, "The past isn't important. Let's go to war"? Look. Like, if that guy can fight those guys, y'all got a chance. Come on. If that guy can fight those guys and win, you got a chance. Amen. Hey, let's back that truck up just a little bit before that, right? If that guy could even have the faith to step out on the field and then get killed dead, if he even has that faith, I think there's a chance you could maybe grow a little bit of faith in your life too, wouldn't you say? Let me show you what that guy looked like. I did some digging, all right? It'll come up in a minute. It'll come up in a minute, but not yet. I did some digging into the history books. I went deep. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, "He went deep." Come on, I went deep. I've actually spent years studying and scouring and searching all of the historical documents and artifacts looking for a picture of that guy. And when they dug up the deep sea scrolls, miracle, that was cool, right? When they found the deep sea scrolls, they actually found a portrait of Gideon. And then scientists, they added color rendering to the portrait. Fascinating work. It's amazing what scientists can do, isn't it, right? Imagine a picture of the skinniest, the nerdiest, the weirdest, the weakest guy you ever seen in your life. Stop picturing me. Here's the picture that they found. It's on the screen. There's the guy they found. All the scientists got together and they rendered a picture of Gideon. That's the picture they found. That's Gideon. He was the nerdiest, the skinniest, the weakest, the weirdest looking guy, the least in his whole family, who was the least in the whole clan, who was the least in the whole country. How does that guy find the faith to fight 120,000 people with just 300 men? Now I know what you're thinking. You've all seen the movie 300. So you think that all those men look like Pastor Jed. You would be wrong. You think they're all Spartans. Molon Laba. You think they were Spartans, don't you? You're thinking, you know, if I had to choose 300 soldiers, 300 warriors, I'd have a warrior Olympics. They'd throw heavy things. They'd shoot arrows at apples out of a hog on a table. They'd shoot arrows at apples resting on other warriors' heads. They'd do push-up contests. They'd march up hills carrying heavy backpacks so only the toughest and the baddest and the meanest could survive. You're thinking, you know, maybe 300 could do. No. You want to know how Gideon chose his soldiers? You want to know how Gideon chose his soldiers? Yeah. Come on, y'all want to know how Gideon chose his soldiers? Yeah. We got some kids in here. Yell at me if we got some kids in here. Yeah. A couple, all right? He told the men, "This is warrior training. Go grab a drink." That's how he chose his soldiers. He told his men, "Go down to the river and grab a drink of water." Now, some of the men, they put their face down in the water, like straight down, just boom, right? Straight down into the water. Some probably grabbed it with a cup, you know, or a mug or something, you know. Some probably grabbed it in their hands and tipped it into their mouths. That's what some of them put the water in their hands and licked it out of their hands like a dog lapping water out of a bowl. Who drinks like that? Like, now it's a freaking miracle that there was 300 of them, isn't it? Right? Like, who drinks, like I've seen people drink like this. Right? I have never seen a human do this. And neither had you until today. It is a miracle that 300 men drank like a dog. Right? 300 men, that's how they drank. These cats are the weirdest drinkers you ever saw in your life. Those men, those weird, dog-licking, water-lapping men, fought and defeated 120,000 Midianites. And so I'm hammering the point home again and again and again. How did Napoleon Dynamite and 300 dogs muster up the faith to take a step of faith and go out to war with the Midianites? Well, let's go back. Not too long before that, God met with him. God called him a mighty warrior. And at that moment, God's presence gave him just a little bit of hope. Just enough hope that he would ask God for a sign. Now, this is not faith. Listen up. Prove it's you, God. That's not faith. It's not. It's just not, all right? That's hope. That's, I hope it's you. I hope it's God. But that's not faith. That's not enough. Oh, I hope I'll beat 120,000 men with 300 dog-licking dudes. Right? But it was enough hope to ask God for a sign. And that's what hope does. Hope allows you to get a step closer to faith. And often we look at Gideon like he was too doubtful, too questioning, too weak, because 1, 2, 3 different times he's like, show me this sign, show me that sign, show me this sign. I'm going to put out a fleece. If it's wet in the morning, then I'll believe that it's God. Puts a fleece outside and he walks away. I hope this works. He wasn't full of faith yet. He only had a hope. He only had a hope. A lot of people have faith. And those people know that God is with them. And those people know that God will never leave them. And they have faith that God will heal them. And they have faith that God will help them. And they have faith that God will provide for them. And they have faith that as they sow, they will reap in Jesus' name. They've got faith. But if we're honest, some of us sometimes are really just stuck at, I hope God is with me. I hope God will save me. You ever been there? Come on, let's be real. Maybe you used to have great faith, but then you rolled back to, I hope God is with me. I hope God will heal this cancer that I have. I hope that God will provide for me. Have you ever been there? That's okay. That's okay. You need hope. We need hope. That's why we're running church this week, because believers need hope. And when we get together in the presence of God, we're sowing hope and we're sharing hope and we're giving hope. Amen. You need hope. It's all that hope that you have that gets you out of bed in the morning. It's all that hope that you have. It's that little bit of hope that you have. It's that hope that maybe today I'll meet that woman. Maybe today I'll meet that man that made you get dressed nice today. It's that hope that you have that got you showered up today and you don't smell like you did yesterday, amen. It's that hope that gets you out the door of your house. I hope I don't get hit by a car. It's the little hope statements that pave the way for those great faith statements, amen? It's those little moments of I hope God is with me that pave the way for the I know God is with me. It's the I hope I'll get healed that paves the way for the I know that God is Jehovah Rapha. God is my healer, amen? But it started at I hope. I hope. I hope I get healed. I don't know if I've told you the story of Lauren and I's passports being in the mail. Putting a valuable document in the mail is scary. Y'all are like, what's so valuable about a passport? Well, if you don't have it, you get kicked out of America when you're me. Well, not now, because now I've got a green card, all right? But when I was on a visa, that passport had my visa in it, all right? If I didn't have that passport, I couldn't even get on a plane to come to America when we first moved here, right? It's not just America. Every country in the world operates the same way. If you don't have that passport, out you go. See, we got our visas approved and the email came and said, you got your visas approved. And we're like, yay, that's amazing. Woohoo, let's go. The next step was we had to go to Melbourne to do our immigration interview and get the visas in our passports, all right? You got to take your passports, you got to give it to them, they got to put your visa in the passport, and that's the proof that you're allowed to come and live and work in the United States. We had to go to Melbourne to do that. It was a long process, but we got there, and we took our visa, we took our passports with us. You know, that it's the day that we got the email that said, your visas are approved, we were like, sweet. So we bought our plane tickets for, I don't know, 5 or 6 days later. And because we knew that our interview in Melbourne was like the next day or two, right? So we purchased our tickets for, I don't know, 5 or 6 days later. Not a huge step of faith, you know, other than assuming that we'll, you know, not get accused of being a terrorist at the interview or something like that, you know, which we were pretty confident that there was nothing in our past that would make that happen. And so we're like, okay, yeah, we'll buy the tickets. Then at the interview, the guy says, have you got your passports? We're like, yeah, bro, we got our passports. Here you go. And he took them. And we had plane tickets booked for 5 or 6 days later. We're like, bro, can we have our passports back? He's like, they'll come back in the mail. I'm like, that's going to be a problem. Right? How much did you spend on those tickets, Jesse? Almost $10,000. So we're like, ah, crap. You know, we spent almost $10,000 on airfares yesterday. What if the passports with the visa in it don't arrive back in Wodonga, 5 hours away from Melbourne, in time for us to drive back to Melbourne again to get on an aeroplane to go and live happily ever after in Iowa? What if they don't come back? Now, I got to tell you, we had a lot of faith statements on this journey, like, faith statement after faith statement, faith step after faith step, all the way on this journey. But this, initially, this moment was not one of them. Initially, I was like, OMG, I hope the passports arrive in the mail by next Tuesday, because next Tuesday, we got to drive to Melbourne and get on an aeroplane and fly to Iowa. So as we're driving back to Wodonga, I wasn't declaring to my wife, the passports will be there, baby. They'll be there in the name of, I declare it. It's going to happen. No, I was saying, I hope the passports arrive back in time that we didn't waste $10,000. I was freaking out a little bit. See, what's funny is sometimes your faith is up and down, right? See, sometimes you have great faith and at the next journey, it starts again at hope. Sometimes you go from faith to faith to faith. The very beginning of faith is hope. But I was at, I hope these passports come back in time. I hope we don't miss out on those flights. And then as the day approached, as the day that was the limit for rebooking the flights approached, right? It's you rebook on that day or you lose the $10,000. 2 days beforehand, the passport had not come yet. And that was the deadline for the rebooking, or we would lose $10,000. But by then, I wasn't on hope anymore. Come on. It was full on faith that made us stand up and say, the passports will come. It started at a hope. But by the time the real risk of losing the $10,000 came, it was at, it will happen in the name of Jesus. By then it was, we know that we know that we know that we know that God is in this. That this is the day. Let's go. Let's go. Come on. Someone say, let's go. The day before departure comes. Now we're not 2 days before, we're 1 day before. Mailman comes. You know what he had for us? Nothing. 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 And then the morning of departure comes. The mailman hasn't arrived yet. We got to go. We got to get to Melbourne. And the mailman hasn't even come yet, let alone given us bad news yet. We got to drive to Melbourne. It's a 5-hour drive to catch the flights. So I call the post office, I ask them, you didn't happen to have a package for Newman, did you? She said, well, yes, I do happen to have a package for Newman. It'll be in your mailbox tomorrow. I said, well, that's probably not going to work out for us. So how about I come and get it? And she said, no, that's not allowed. And I said, in the name of Jesus, bow thy knee. And she said, fair enough, come and get it. That didn't happen. But I did tell her that if you don't let me come and get it, it's going to cost me $10,000 and my whole family will fall apart and our whole lives will be destroyed and the whole plans of God in Iowa and probably a few hundred thousand extra people go to hell because of you. Okay, I didn't say that either, but I did tell her I was going to lose the $10,000, all right? And she said, yeah, you better come and get it. So I did. I got in the car, went and got it, got back, got in the other car, and drove straight to Melbourne. That was 8 years ago. Why tell that story? Sounds like a great faith story, but it was full of moments of hope. It was full of moments that backed up far enough from faith that I was making I hope statements. Y'all have heard my great faith statements over the years, but you need to know that my great faith journey started with and has been sustained by a lot of I hope statements. And even in between many of the great faith statements, you'll find more, I hope statements. Sometimes I'm good at not saying them out loud to everybody, but you've got to understand that hope often bridges the gap between our moments of great faith. Just little, I hope, I hope. I'd rather start at I hope than say nothing at all. Opening your mouth and saying I hope will at least start the journey, amen. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about how faith activates the power of the Holy Ghost in your life. Today, I want to tell you that hope activates your faith. All great journeys of faith started with a few, I hope this works out, statements. Every one of them. And you don't need to feel bad because you don't quite profess the same faith that Mike has or that Garrett has or that Rachel has or that Jesse has. But instead, use the little bit that God already put in your life. God has already put hope in your life. Come on, God. Fill your life with hope to give you a future of hope. Come on. He's already put a little measure of hope in your life. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Come on. We can't do anything if we don't open up our hearts to hope. We can't do anything without hope. If there's no hope, there'll never be any faith. That's why it's so important for us to resume church gatherings, because people need hope. You need hope. And when we're in the presence of God, and we know because Scripture shows us that when we're together, the presence of God is multiplied. Hope is multiplied. Faith is exploded. Amen. People need hope. Hope gets you out of bed. Hope is why we apply for jobs that we're not qualified for, because I hope I get it. Hope is why we ask girls out on dates even when we look like Napoleon Dynamite. I hope she doesn't know I'm ugly because I got nice eyes and I'm wearing a mask now. And soon enough, hope is going to grow into faith. When the seeds of hope are planted, trees of faith grow. Jesus said that if we have faith as small as a mustard seed, miraculous things are going to happen. I love that he used the analogy of a seed. Why a seed? Why didn't he say that faith is small as a speck of dust? Why didn't he say faith is small as an ant? Why did he use a seed? Because seeds grow. Seeds grow. Seeds grow. It's like saying that the very beginning of faith, the start of faith, is a powerful thing. I believe that the very beginning of faith is hope. I read the story about a woman who was locked in her parents' basement for years. She was told that if she ever went outside, she would surely be attacked by strangers or murdered by marauders, hit by a car, sickened by pollution, mugged by a thief. She grew to have an incredible and life-controlling fear of going outside. The fear was created by her parents, who didn't want to see her escape their control, their torture, and their abuse. I remember her being asked, what was it like going outside for the first time? Imagine going outside after being inside for just a couple of months. Exciting, beautiful, sunshine, a breeze, greenery, flowers, fresh air. She talked about how that was not her experience at all. Going outside for her was not wow. She talked about how it took the people working with her many days or weeks, I can't remember exactly how long, to convince her to take that first step to go outside. They'd explained to her that it's safe. But she talked about how that very first step, I'll never forget it. She said, I simply hoped that it would be okay. I simply hoped that it would be okay. This isn't in my notes, but interesting that it took other people to share that hope with her. The gift of God within you can share that hope with other people. Now when she walks outside, she knows that she's going to be okay. That first day, she planted the seed. The seed she planted was, I hope. And that seed grew into faith. Some of us need to start planting those seeds called hope. It all starts by saying, I hope I don't get hit by a car. I hope I don't get cancer. I hope I don't get struck by lightning. I hope this Jesus journey is the real deal. I hope I get healed of this sickness. I hope my kids come to know Jesus. I hope I don't lose my job in the middle of coronavirus. If you don't have enough faith to say I won't, then say I hope. I hope that because of the gift of God in my life that I won't lose my job. I hope my family will get through this. I hope I get another job. I hope I get the job I'm applying for. I hope that this hope grows into faith in the name of Jesus. And soon enough, you too will know that you know that you know that you know that, like Jeremiah 29 said, that the God who filled you with hope is the God who will answer when you call. That the God who filled you with hope is the God who makes all things possible for those who call upon His name. That the God who filled you with hope is the God who will provide for your family. That the God who filled you with hope is the God who will heal your family. That the God who filled you with hope is the God who will protect your family. And then like Gideon, one day you'll be able to go from "I am the weakest" after long enough for saying "I hope," you'll become "I know." And then you'll go from the "I am the weakest" to "let's fight." You'll be able to say numbers don't matter. It's all about the God who is in me. The college degree is irrelevant. It's all about the call of God on my life. My bank account balance doesn't matter. It's all about the faith in my heart. You know, I'm saying most of the disciples were poor, washed up, and uneducated. That was the disciples. Poor, broke. Most of them were so broke, no one would even take their cash. That's how bad their credit rating was. And we're still reading about those poor, uneducated, and broke guys from the Middle East today. Thousands of years later, we're still inspired by what God did. All that matters today is that now that you've been filled with hope, that you would at least start to profess with your mouth those "I hope" statements. Would you stand up with me here, there, everywhere? Hallelujah. I'm going to pray that the God of hope would fill your heart with hope right now. Unfortunately, at this time, we're not going to have an open altar call down here, but we do make this commitment. Number one, you can get online right now. You can go to myeternity.com, click online. You can go to Facebook, actually, sorry, and write in the comments your prayer request. People will be praying for you. But you can also go outside immediately after the service, and we've got staff out there who'll be praying for you, okay? Because we're just not going to not pray for people, yeah? We're just not going to not pray for people. So you can wear gloves. It'll be too loud to do that with gloves and what this thing called a mask. And so we'll all do that, but we'll go out there and we'll pray for you out on the front lawn. Pastor Jed is a prayer warrior, and he'll be out there as well. And so will Pastor Lauren and a couple other people. But before that, I want to pray for everybody in this room who could simply say, "I need hope." So would you close your eyes, everybody? Close your eyes. If you're in here and if you're honest, you would say, "You know what, I have felt like because I don't have such great faith that God can't use me. Because I've been afraid of risk. Because I've been afraid to apply for the job. Because I've been afraid to confess the power of God, that I have felt like God can't use me." I want to pray for those people. I also want to pray for people who feel, as miraculous as it was that you got here, if you feel this way, I want to pray for people who feel like they have no hope. I would put it to you that you had enough to get out of your house today, come to church, log online, but we'll pray for more hope, and that as you activate that hope, that it would activate faith. Amen. And so everybody close their eyes, and I want you to lift up your hand right now if you want me to pray for you. If you want to be included in this prayer, just reach out your hand. As you reach out your hand, you're saying, "I want to be included in this prayer. I want to go on that great journey from either hope to great faith, or small faith to great faith, or no faith to hope. I want to be included in that journey." Online, just reach out your hand as well. Reach out your hand. God sees and God knows. Heavenly Father, I pray right now for every person who's raised their hand in this place, in that place, in every place, saying, "God, that I want to go from small faith to great faith. God, I want to go from hope to small faith. God, I want to go from no hope and no faith to hope. God, I pray for every single person responding to the call of God right now with their hand raised. God, I pray and thank you that there was enough hope in their heart to respond. I hope God hears this prayer. I hope God sees me now. I hope this does something. God, I pray you would meet that hope right now with more hope. I pray that that hope would be set on fire. Like, God, that little bit of hope, okay. Lot of hope, dangerous. God, I pray that that little bit of hope that caused them to reach out their hand would become great hope. God, I pray great hope would become faith. God, I pray faith would become great faith. God, help every one of us to profess hope and to take steps of faith. I pray every one of us would be inspired and reminded today, not tomorrow, but today, to profess a hope or faith statement that would activate another level of faith in their lives, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Come on, praise God in this place, in your place, in every place. Last thing I want to do right now before we sing the last song is I want to talk to people who don't know Jesus. If you're in this place and you don't know Jesus, I want to tell you, God called you here today. If you're watching online, God called you to join us online today. It's no accident. This is intentional. This is God's plan for your life, that today a measure of hope would come in that would spark an incredible journey where you become the person that God in heaven designed you to be. When God said, "Let us make mankind in our image," He thought of you at that moment. Whether you believe that was 7,000 years ago, or whether you believe that that was 7 billion years ago, I don't care. All I know is that God designed you. God designed you. And when He did, He planned a great life for you. And today, as you pray this prayer with me, you're stepping into the life that God designed for you. Yeah? And so Scripture says, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you will be saved. That means you'll be saved from a life without God, the pain, the shame, the hurt, and you'll step into and begin to become the wonder of what God planned for your life. It's blessed. I told you, I read it. God said, "I'm not going to hurt you. I'm going to bless you." I want you to receive that gift today, okay? The way you do that is you pray this prayer with me. I'm going to pray it one line at a time. I want you to pray it with me as well. In fact, I want everybody to pray it so that nobody is praying it alone. Okay, so nobody is praying alone. Everybody in this room, and especially those away from God, repeat after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that He died on a cross for my sin. And He rose again to give me life, hope, joy, peace, and eternal life. I receive it all. I receive your forgiveness. I receive hope. And I receive this new life with you as my Lord and my Savior. I ask you to break shame, pain, hurt, and regret off my life and help me to become all that you designed me to be. I give you my life in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, and amen. Come on, praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to go to myeternity.com/Jesus. We've got some great information on there about how wonderful it is to live a life with Christ. And there's also some more instructions about how you can be blessed. Another thing you can do is text the word SAVED, that's S-A-V-E-D, to the number 25827. And if you could please do that right now or during this next song, that would be fantastic. We just want to bless you and send you a gift in the mail, a gift card to a local coffee shop, one of my favorite local coffee shops, and a Bible and a CD. Just some things that are going to bless you as you start this new and exciting, blessed journey with God in your life. Amen. So please do that. Right now, though, I'm going to walk off the stage. I would encourage you just to please stay in your seats for the next 5 minutes before the ushers will begin to dismiss each row one at a time. But let's take this moment, just reach out your hands, worship the Lord, and ask God right now to fill your heart with a new measure of hope and to bless you. And you can also go online and start getting on Facebook as well and start praying for people or sharing your prayer requests as well. You can also give in this time as well by texting the word eternity to the number 77977. Come on, church, let's just worship the Lord and thank Him for a hope-filled message in this season. Amen.
Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed this, share it with your friends or neighbors. This coming weekend or next, we'd love to see you at church. You'll find locations and service times at myeternity.com/locations. We're also on Facebook and Instagram at My Eternity Church. Have an awesome day. Love you heaps.